Welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have a fascinating guest, and I was on her show on New Year's Eve on Voice America, Shift Happens, and now she's on BBS Radio, also known as Shift Happens. Her name is Karen Weary, and she has a master's degree in marriage and family therapy. She's a Stetson graduate, and she's also a fellow Floridian. She's been licensed here since 2003. She's EMDR trained, custom debt payoff coach, Level Reiki 1 trained, and started her show, like I said, Shift Happens on Voice America in November of 2008, where she helps shift the mind, the body, and money. Money is a big important thing, right, Karen? The show looks to heal old wounds physically, emotionally, financially, so we can tap into our unlimited potential as human beings. And like I said, she also has a show on BBS Radio, which I heard a couple weeks ago. I thought that was funny. I just tuned into it. And here, Dr. Doug and I were on the show, and I'm like, oh, this is what I sound like. Okay, poor people. So we're going to talk about her background. I just wanted to give a brief introduction. Welcome, Dr. Karen Weary. How are you today, Ms. Karen?
Thank you so much, Amy. And yeah, just for purposes, I'm not a doctor. I have a master's degree.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't want to be misquoted and try to people tell me that I'm giving myself degrees I haven't earned.
Not yet.
No, never. I am done.
I know the feeling. I definitely know the feeling. So you have an extensive background, though. Even though you don't have the degrees, you have the experience. I mean, you've helped out domestic violence. You're also, which is a fascinating subject, is a modality or whatever called EMDR, which stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Why don't you explain a little bit about that, and then we'll go, you know, when I do interviews, I'm very casual. You know, I do have I have questions, but it's like you're talking to me about what you like to do in your life. So you take it from here.
All right, Amy. Well, I tell you what, when I came across EMDR, it was a complete shift in my life, my professional life, my personal life, because I was honestly feeling a little bit like I wasn't really getting a lot of results when I was working with clients. And this is not something that, at least when I was going to grad school, that they were teaching in grad school. So this is something you had to do, you know, on your own separately. Another therapist started telling me about it, it just made a lot of sense to me. Because it's a completely different way of accessing the brain and really processing things on a whole deeper level. Because many times people know kind of what the connections are, and many people have, they know where their issues are coming from. Not everybody, but still. But that doesn't mean, they've still been wired in and stored dysfunctionally. So it's not a matter of kind of thinking your way out of it. So what EMDR is when we have an incident that happens where we feel in high distress, we could have an argument with somebody, it could be a breakup or a divorce or a car accident or something like that. We talk about big T traumas, which are the obvious ones, and little T traumas, which are all the other kind of incidences where your life wasn't actually threatened. But the thing is that the old part of the brain that's way back by the brain stem, the brain stem, is the one that keeps us alive, and it's not the intelligent part of our brain. It's just there to keep us alive. And it will interpret something as though, oh my God, we are in danger, which then starts the whole fight or flight scenario in the brain. Mm-hmm. And our brain gets flooded with cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And then mm-hmm. all the higher level parts of our brain goes out the window because we don't need that in that moment. Which means that everything in that incident, during the argument, through the divorce, whatever kind of thing, gets frozen and stored dysfunctionally in the brain with the sights, sounds, smells, the physical sensations we have in our body and the emotions. Mm-hmm. And then most importantly, whatever the negative belief is that we attach in that moment, which is always something about me, myself, and I, so it could be, mm-hmm. I'm not safe, I'm not good enough, it's my fault, I'm unlovable, you name it. And then it's frozen, it's stored, and then in a part of the brain that where time is very fluid. And then not only that, mm-hmm. it gets connected with all the other incidences you've ever experienced in your life that has the same negative belief attached. And so mm-hmm. because it's stored in a part that doesn't know the time, then every time mm-hmm. something gets triggered, which could be a sight, could be a tone of voice, it could be anything, then it pulls mm-hmm. up every incident as though it's happening right here and now. And this is why people, they have these, all the yuck comes up and mm-hmm. they may overreact when something mm-hmm. happens. And they're really more responding to old things that haven't been resolved than things that are happening right here and now. So with EMDR, mm-hmm. we take one specific incident because mm-hmm. the brain can focus on that. And then we figure out what are all those parts that are going along with it. And then we use bilateral stimulation, which sounds really weird, but it could be eye movement side to side. It could be auditory or kinetic. And what the bilateral stimulation does is it signals the central nervous system to calm down so that now for the first time ever, we have the intelligent part of the brain that can take a look at this incident and then start to store it properly so the brain finally recognizes that this happened then and I'm here now. So we mm-hmm. really undo the whole fight or flight response that people have gotten stuck into.
Huh. Yeah. When I was going through my own journey, one therapist suggested I try EMDR because I didn't want to go back on a plane. I had such a traumatic experience of being stranded for 12 hours. Trying to get back from Buffalo to Rhode Island. Now, you know how I feel about Buffalo. You know, that was fine being stranded maybe a couple hours, but not 12 hours. So it was like very traumatizing for me. Yeah. So I did a little bit of that because I didn't like planes. I hadn't been on a plane in like 17 years.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. And that limits you a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit traumatized.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It limits you a little bit if you don't want to go on airplanes and mm-hmm. what you can do and where you can go. Yeah. So, are you getting back on airplanes these days?
Yes, I am. I think I did a session, a couple sessions, and it helped me. And then I didn't go on a plane for a while until I moved down here. I had to fly down here to find a place to live and, you know, stuff like that before I formally moved here. And I was a nervous wreck because I had not flown since before 9/11, you know, and I was like, oh my God, you know, so of course, you know, they got the TSA people, you know, and I had a rude person in the Buffalo airport, you know, she was so mean. I'm like, really?
Oh yeah. They're not happy people.
Yeah. But I was fine flying, believe it or not. I was really fine flying and I was good. So yes, that's been my experience with EMDR. Because I was like, wow, I think I used that technique. And I'm like, yeah, with a plane. Uh-huh. So when I was inquiring about the show and when I was on Shift Happens on New Year's Eve, you came up with a new diagnosis. Tell us about that. Well, tell our audience about it. I think it's hysterical. I think it's true, though.
So here's the thing, Amy. Yes, I would love to share it. And by the way, it was lovely having you celebrating New Year's with you and Dr. Doug. So I thank you for that.
Thank you for having me on.
With all these years of all the people I've worked with and all that I've seen, and I've come to the conclusion, because what I finally discovered, because for me, I'm always thinking there's a solution. We can always do something. And that's just how I think and always have. So, but I noticed that a lot of people, they think that anxiety and depression and PTSD. That's just something you are, and that's how you are for the rest of your life. And, you know, and the way people are diagnosed oftentimes is very much by, okay, well, this, you have it in your family. Well, then it's just genetic, and this is just how you are, and throw pills at you. When in reality, when we look a little bit about what all has really been going on, there might have been, you know, alcoholism, erratic behavior, bullying, all these kinds of things. And so all these incidences are things that, again, in EMDR, we talk about little T traumas and big T traumas, and we add them up and add them up and add them up. This is where I get to the, my new diagnosis is we are all emotionally constipated. We're just backed up with unresolved emotions, right? So, so EMDR is such a beautiful way of you know, kind of flushing through all this old garbage and all this old stuff that's gotten stuck in the pipelines, so that people are no longer depressed, they're no longer PTSD, they're no longer anxious, or at least have brought it way down to a normal level. Because, you know, if you keep loading up the back of your truck and you never unload, what's going to happen? You're going to break your truck somehow or another. And we are the same way. I have a million analogies, Amy. That's how I go. That's how I flow.
I'm sorry. I just got an analogy and I don't even want to go there.
Uh-oh. All right. That'll be off. Off air, huh?
Yeah, off air is in love and war. You know, and also being constipated. Okay, well, which I'm not. Anyway.
That is so true, though, because
yeah,
we think we are our genetics, which when I was on your show with Dr. Doug, we talked about that, and he was on the show. He's going to be on the show, you know, before you. And the 17th of February, I believe we're going to air that show. And he talks about that as well. We're not our genes. We think, well, I was born with high cholesterol, or I have anger, I have the alcoholic gene, or whatever.
Yeah.
I think you're right. We can transmute that. And there's so many different techniques to change that code in the DNA.
Exactly. Well, and we know, I mean, Dr. Bruce Lipton came up with the epigenetics. So it's a fact. It's whatever environment externally, internally we have that will flip the switch on or off on whatever it is that happens to be in our DNA. So it's not something we have to live with. And there's so many things, like you're saying, that can help reverse things even once it's happened. So, it's exciting times that we're discovering these things, and some of them are ancient that we have dismissed in our Western culture and Western medicine that are just coming back and being kind of confirmed with science and all. So it's exciting.
Yeah, it is. And I know from my personal experience with the modality I use, integrated energy therapy, I've been able to alter that goes into the DNA as well. So I've been able to alter a lot of things that I have been so-called born with. And sometimes you think these burdens of like depression, anxiety, anger, PTSD, you know, maybe illnesses, like I said, high cholesterol, maybe, you know, some genetic stuff in there too, alcoholism, you know, you think you can't change that, but I feel you can. And I'm proof of that. I'm proof
absolutely
of that. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all your mindset, too. It really is. It's about your mindset.
Yeah, well, and look at it this way, and this is something I love to listen to a lot to Dr. Joe Dispenza and such, and so our thoughts create an emotion. We have emotions about what it is that we're thinking about. So if we're thinking about something that makes us angry, then guess what? We're going to have angry neurotoxins, neurochemicals that are floating around in our body, and then that's going to create this angry environment in our body. It changes literally our body chemistry. And if we do that over and over and over again, whether it's anger, anxiety, or whatever, or joy, then that will eventually change physiologically our brain, you know? So It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. So, I mean, what led you, I mean, to become a therapist to begin with? I mean, that's a lofty calling, I think.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, the funny thing is I initially wanted to be a physical therapist. And because I like, you know, working out, and I've always been thinking preventative type of thing. Of course, physical therapy is after the fact, but still. But then I dipped my toes in that area when I was doing all my undergrad stuff, and I thought, well, you know what, this doesn't really seem too exciting. But I'd always been interested in dynamics and family dynamics when I was growing up. I would always ask when my mother's cousin would come over, oh, tell me about the old days. And so I wanted to, you know, of course, there's dysfunction in my family and non-communication and emotional cutoffs and all that stuff. And I thought, you know what, I would love to be able to learn more about how to heal people and heal relationships and also really be able to make a difference and change. I talk about how we all are here and we're all creating a ripple effect. And we never know, most of us don't know how much and how many people we're touching with every little smile, every greeting, every touch. And so what you can help someone, you know, and then with all your clients and how that ripple effect is, you know, and then in my own life, like I talk about how I didn't have a connection with my mother. My father died when I was five, and how I wanted to make sure that with my son, I have a 14-year-old son, and wanted to make sure that he has that connection, you know, parental connection with me. And so to be able to take charge of that is and create that for people. And also, I'm also super passionate about helping people get to the place where, for the most part, they won't need medication. There is a time and a place for medication, but for me, I think that it's way, way overprescribed, and that there's so much we can do, again, naturally, where we don't need to be on medications that have so many side effects, and some of them are addictive. And, you know, I always talk about it's really more of a Band-Aid on top of an infected wound. The infection is still in there festering, but the medication is just making you not feel the pain.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I agree with that.
So I'm passionate about that.
Yeah, well, in my own life, I've been, you know, off and on, you know, antidepressants because I grew up in a very dysfunctional, abusive, alcoholic household myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't know that you look at your life and you're like, it leads you to where you are now, right? So you don't think of all the stuff that you've gone through is going to bring you to where you are now, or you don't think of it that way back then. You just feel like you're trapped. And I have had my own experiences with antidepressants, one which I had a, you know, major car accident because I went into anaphylactic shock. So I don't really care for that personally.
That's scary.
That is scary. But what I'm saying is I agree with you. You know, sometimes you're overly medicated. Let's just prescribe a pill and let's write the script, let the doctor write the script and give you the script and, you know, it'll take all your pain away. No, you got to deal with the underlying cause of that.
Exactly. It's like glaringly obvious, isn't it? I mean, I don't know how people don't see it.
Well, you know what? I think for me, from my experience with working with people, they're afraid to look at it because they're afraid of unearthing the monsters in the closet. You know, I call it the monsters in the closet. And I feel that going to a good therapist, like in my journey, I've been to a few therapists that really have changed my life and really brought me to where I am. I don't need therapy now. I mean, maybe some people think I do, but I don't. So that's what counts. you look back at your path and you're like, wow, you know, I went through that. I mean, I have a client that is, had gone through major bullying when she was younger and now she's an educator and now she's speaking on behalf of, you know, bullies, you know, the people who've been bullied and by peers. So,
you know, we were just talking about that the other day, and she's like, wow, you know, I never thought my experiences would help other people. I said, yeah, medication won't, but you will. There you go. So that's my point. So I think the more, you know, we think we're damaged individuals when we're not, we're all, you know, undoing the damage. And helping, I don't know, undoing the damage helps others too, I guess, besides ourselves. But I mean, that's just my two cents.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, I absolutely agree with you, Amy. And the other thing I think that that happens is that people don't know what is possible, that it is possible to get to a place where you feel good, where you have peace, where you don't feel anxious and depressed and all those, where you actually can start the process of learning to love yourself, because I know loving yourself is, you know, like an alien thought for many people. So you start with learning to like yourself, and then learning to love yourself, and eventually loving yourself.
Mm-hmm. It is a process. Yes. It's not like you're the narcissist that's looking in the mirror or in the pot, you know, in the pot, the reflection in the pond saying, oh, I'm just so gorgeous, I'm God. No, it's not. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, you know, being your own best advocate, having your own back, and relying on yourself and the universe, whatever you believe in. So, I mean, that's just kind of like, let's make that clear to some listeners, because loving yourself, does that mean I look in the mirror and say, I love you, darling, you're so gorgeous?
I mean, God, I don't know. You can. Well, and how that also shows up, self-love shows up in behaviors and in actions, is noticing when you're tired, when you're overworked, and taking the weekend off. Noticing when you are eating foods that aren't good for your health. Not about how you look. I mean, to me, the looking good is a side effect of healthy living. But when you start to eat foods for your health, that's also part of loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Self-care. My back hurts today. I'm going to schedule a massage for tomorrow, which I think I'm going to do, because I worked at the gym yesterday and I really did my back.
You do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You do.
Yeah, diet and exercise are important, but when you overdo it, sometimes I overdo it. But anyway, it's like when you learn your limitations, I don't want to say limitations. That's a negative word, but you know what I'm talking about. You know yourself enough to when to say no.
But yeah, you say yes, to listen do. And pay attention to your own body and what your body is telling you. There you go.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I mean, what's your opinion? We just talked about that a little bit. What effect do events from early on in your life have on people's lives today? So do you think people realize it impacts them as much as they do, or you think that still people need to get a clue, you know, buy a clue on that?
I think I hear so often that people say, I had a wonderful childhood, and then it turns out that when we really get into it, their dad abandoned them, left them standing at the front door, said that they were going to come, and the little kid, when they were little, was standing all dressed up, waiting, excited, with their little suitcase in their hand, and the dad never showed up, that type of thing. That's not a happy childhood. That is traumatizing, and you know, gives you a little bit of an abandonment issue, trust issues, all kinds of things. So a lot of people don't recognize, and I think many times also it's how we are taught how to deal with it. Just brush it off, shake it off. We've got to keep on moving, hold your chin up. And we have to do all those things. But while we're doing that, there's a difference between getting back up and brushing yourself off and keep on moving and ignoring what happened and pretending it isn't there, you know? So, And I have had many people who, once we process something and they're shocked at what a huge difference it made in how they feel. And because the beautiful thing with that I've noticed with EMDR is that that when we process something, there's a spillover effect that affects all areas of their lives. So you know, people that come in and they, oh my gosh, I had somebody a couple weeks ago that was basically mandated by their EAP to come see me and couldn't come back to work until they, you know, I gave them a report that said, yeah, they turned up and this, that, and the other. And during the first session, found out that the person's husband had died of cancer, and it, you know, when the end stages is really horrible, and so there was a particular image that just kept rolling around in her poor mind. And so for a year and a half, she'd been trying to cope with alcohol and not been able to sleep, no more than 3 hours of sleep every night, and this, that, and the other. Well, we processed that whole incident, and it was only in 20 minutes. And got through the whole incident. I saw her 2 weeks later, and she looked like a whole different woman. She looked like she'd been on vacation, because now she was sleeping, her skin looked nice and everything. So, so yeah, when we do those, when we take care of that kind of stuff, then it's just a huge relief.
Yes, I've been through many of those sessions where you unlayer the different layers of the onion, peel it back, and then you feel better. You're like, I didn't realize how much that was really bothering me, or that was really affecting me, or whatever. And yeah, there was something that I personally worked through in the last year that was really, I didn't realize how it affected me. And when I got to the root of it, and I'm like, damn, I really still have, I'm okay. Well, Karen, we're going to, we're going to take a little bit of a break. This is Amy Toy with Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Wow, if I could talk, that would be great. With Karen Reary. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life, thinking of getting a new job, wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on amytoyamytoy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only.
And welcome back to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. We're interviewing Karen Weary. She is a therapist who specializes in EMDR. And Karen, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, we're doing this great interview. We're talking about a healing modality. If to our listeners who are just tuning in, perhaps, tell us a little bit about EMDR and just kind of recap it, what it means, and let's give a little brief synopsis, because sometimes people just tune in when they want to.
There you go. So in a nutshell, EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it is a way of, for in many cases that I work with anyway, very quickly, sometimes in one session, sometimes in 3 to 6 sessions, process through events that have happened by zeroing in on one specific incident. And then it's like it, you're bypassing all the filters that are in the brain that otherwise when we're talking about it, you know how when somebody gives somebody a compliment and they won't accept it. It's like, oh no, this old dress, this, that, and the other. Well, we bypass all that, and people make their own connections in a way that because it comes from themselves and they come to that conclusion themselves, it's more solid. It's more real to them. You know what you know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how EMDR started?
Yes. So Francine Shapiro is the woman who came across. So here was the situation. So she actually just passed away last year. But she has left quite a legacy with her life. But she, back in 1986 or 87, she was going through quite some life challenges herself. She was diagnosed with cancer. I think she was going through a PhD program at the time. But she was she had a lot going on, and she was going for a walk in a park. She lived up in Chicago, and as she was thinking about all this stuff, feeling distressed, and after a while, she recognized, well, all of a sudden, she was not feeling as distressed as she was when she started. And so she was thinking back over, well, what did I do that made myself feel better? And then she recognized, oh, as I was walking, I was looking from one side to the other, That's the bilateral stimulation. So she started playing around with it with friends and family, and started developing this whole protocol that now has become standardized, and you can, there are all these levels. You can go from trained to, you know, supervisor and you know, a trainer and all these different levels. So, yeah, that's how that came about.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm familiar with that story too, but I want our listeners to really embrace maybe a different way to help them on their path of healing, you know, so that's why I was asking that question. It's always good to know the who, the what, where's, and why's.
Right. And
but, oh, yeah.
There is a wonderful TED Talk by Rolf, I forget his last name, but anyway, it's on my website. But he's actually an economist, which is kind of funny. But he's done a lot of work over, and he's worked for UN and different organizations like that, UNICEF, and so he's gone to a lot of countries that are poor, war torn, all this kind of stuff. And he talked about how, you know, there is so much trauma in the world, and trauma begets more trauma. Hurt people, and how he came across Francine Shapiro's book when he was just randomly at a bookstore, and his arm just reached out and grabbed her book, and he was like, oh my God, this is the solution, because giving money, you know, that's like a Band-Aid on the wound, infected wound. Mm-hmm. And so he went over and met with Francine Shapiro, because the thing is that you can also work in small groups and large groups. So for example, big disasters or war, that kind of thing, there are people that will go and work with entire groups, like hundreds of people at a time. So this is where he was saying that, wow, this is an actual solution that we could actually get a handle on this and make a real difference in the world. Yeah, that was powerful. I was like, I got all goosebumps and teary-eyed when I saw that TED Talk, because I'm just seeing it up close, one-to-one for the most part. And so here he was zooming it out on a global level.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. It is. That's why I like doing these shows, because I like to educate people on, you know, different healing modalities, because Reiki may not work for them, or traditional therapy may not work for them, And I think you did say on your show, just keep trying. Keep trying to find something that works for you and the person to work with you, too.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you need the right, I'm not the right person for everybody. And that's perfectly fine. Don't give up just because the person that you start off with is not a good fit.
Mm-hmm. Keep trying, because it does work, and sometimes you just get lucky. I mean, when I was going back to therapy after I had some events happen in my life, that she was good for me. I didn't like her, to be honest with you. I did not like her. And then as we started working, I gave her a chance, and as I was working with her, she was actually the perfect therapist for me at the time. She changed my life in so many ways. She told me about EMDR. She told me about different healing modalities and really, I mean, I was a healer, but I didn't know there was other things, and recommended me to another woman who helped me through my path and just led me to where I needed to be. And that was like, that was like the best time in my life. Even though it was the crappiest time, it was the best time.
Yeah. Well, you know, thank goodness you gave her an option, a chance.
Yes. Yeah. And I will always be grateful, even though she's up in Buffalo, you know, poor lady. You know,
she needed to be in Buffalo for you at that time.
Yes. A lot of people are like, you know, because they have me move back. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Are you smoking something? Give me something. No, I don't smoke anything. Oh, my God. So while we're on the topic of that, if you were to recommend one thing to rectify in your life that would be have the greatest impact, what would that be in your opinion?
If I were to recommend one thing to what now? I'm sorry.
Okay. The question is, if you were to recommend one thing to rectify in your life that would have the greatest impact or the biggest impact, what would that be?
Well, I mean, for me, with the work that I do, I recommend that people see somebody. And again, it doesn't have to be for EMDR, but when you recognize that you are suffering with anxiety and you feel worried and you second guess yourself all the time, or you're angry all the time and irritable, that is coming from something. It's not necessarily that you have an anger problem, but there's something underlying that is because you're getting triggered and you don't, and this is where our past comes in, because a lot of people aren't aware what it is that's triggering the anger, because triggers are hair fine. They did a study with I can't remember the name of the organization, but where they basically put people in the functional MRI machine, and then they flashed pictures that were so quick that the brain really couldn't see what it was, and they took addicts, and so they took they had pictures of some pictures were of whatever their drug of choice was, and some were just neutral. And whenever the pictures flashed that their brain couldn't really acknowledge or their eyes couldn't really see what it was, the whole brain lit up. Like, they got the urges from that. And this is just a perfect demonstration of how hair fine triggers are. We might not even recognize that we've been triggered. You can see it in how you behave. And so whether it's seeking EMDR or the kind of energy medicine that you do, or anything else that is out there, healing modality, you will do yourself and everybody that you touch and you live with and work with and have anything to do with such a huge favor to resolve that.
Because it begins with me. Doesn't that just say that in the 12 steps? And let it begin with me. I remember ending meetings like that. I'm like, what? Okay. The hell is that?
It's everybody else's fault.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. We have zero control over anybody else, so. When we point to ourselves, that's what we have control over. We can do something about it. And then it doesn't feel so hopeless and powerless and helpless.
It is. It's definitely, but when you're first starting out, I've been in recovery since 2005, really, like with Al-Anon and then AA myself. You think back, you're like, you're just like, what the hell is wrong with these people? What do you mean, let it begin with me? Are they all like stupid or something?
and they're not
and then you learn it's all about it's you. It starts with you. You're the person in the whole equation. That's what is a string of like coincidences. It's you. That's
the common denominator. Wow.
What a concept. Me? Oh my gosh. I think back about all the stuff that I've got, all the therapy and all the self-help groups and that. And you're like, at the time you're sitting there, you're thinking, why am I here? You're having you're all pissed off and you're sitting there. And then you look back, you're like, Yeah, I was just angry because I just didn't get it. I had to go through it.
And I don't know guess where that came what? From. You persisted and you stayed and stuck with it despite not understanding it and being angry and pissed off about it. And look where you are now.
Exactly. And that's why I tell people my personal experiences, because I've been there. And, you know, we don't arrive here overnight either. We don't arrive to where we are today in a better space. It takes work. And we talked about that on your show, Shift Happens. You know, it's a process. It's not like, oh, yeah, by the way, I woke up and I'm enlightened today. I don't think so. Not unless I'm Gandhi. I mean, and I know I'm Gandhi, believe me.
Well, and one of the things that they say also is that the more enlightened and, you know, evolved that you become, you just have other kinds of challenges. It's not like you still don't have challenges. It's just that you have different challenges, because the ones that used to be challenges, you know how to deal with them, so now you have new ones. So it's just so fabulous. It never ends.
It never ends until you're 6 feet under. That's all I gotta say about that.
Exactly.
The day I die is when I'm done with this crap.
That's right. It's like, boom. No wonder we're exhausted by the time we get there, huh?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I went to the hairdresser like the other day. I'm like, she's like, you got more gray hair. I'm like, yeah, wisdom highlights. Great. Wonderful. Cover them up.
All natural. You didn't have to pay for it. Not money, anyway.
No. I find it at this stage of the game, it's more about patience, because I can see things more. I think the more you work on yourself and the more aware you become, the more impatient you become, because you're like, damn it. I see it. I hate it.
Well, and I think that's also where, for me, I see Buddhism as life wisdom. And that's, you know, where I see things like, okay, detach yourself from the outcome and, you know, be, find the middle way, breathe.
Yeah, have you noticed, though, when you're going through some trauma, that breathing, you don't breathe? I mean, my therapist taught me belly breathing.
Yeah.
And it really helped me. I'm like, because it's like we cut off the oxygen supply when we're in panic mode, or we're anxious or we're depressed, or when we're exercising like I do sometimes. And my trainer's like, would you just breathe through it, Amy? You know, I don't want to. I don't know I know CPR, but I don't want to do it on you because you're old. I don't know what he's thinking, but, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, and even when it's not trauma that I'm going through, but I just notice that I'm stressed because there's a lot going on and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I'll catch myself. Okay, I need to breathe. And that's the other nice thing that that I do with EMDR. This is the way I taught it, and I just kept going with it, in that between each set, after the bilateral stimulation, I was told to take a deep breath and then let it go. And, you know, the let it go, for me, it has a dual meaning. Let go of the breath and also let go of what it was that you just, you know, processed through. So... And then, so at least I get to breathe through my whole EMDR sessions, because I breathe with them.
I agree with that. Yeah, when I'm doing my morning ritual, there's a lot of breath work, a lot of prana work, where it's like, okay, let out, because sometimes my dreams and my sleep is very intense sometimes. So it's like, okay, just let it out. It's last night's issue. So, Karen, Karin, you are also a radio show host. Can you tell us a bit about your radio show, Shift Happens?
Yes, absolutely. And so you and I, we have very much the same ideology, it sounds like, from what you were saying about, because for me, it is all about, we need to do our healing physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, so that we can get to a baseline, so that we're not always in survival mode. And from that space, we know that I know in my cells and my bones that we are capable of so much more than what we are taught, because, I mean, let's just look at the placebo effect. It is so documented that all medications have to go through, have to add that as part of their research. So why are we not researching the placebo effect? Because, and see what we can tap into. And that is what my show is a lot about, is how can we tap into that? So I love to grab people and find people who know alternative ways of healing that may not be at the forefront of people's minds, that people haven't become, are not familiar with, and different things people are doing to move forward so that they can create and their legacy and live with purpose and be their best and highest self. And the name Shift happens.
Yes, it does happen. Shift does happen. We just sometimes don't know it's shifting at the time. We're thinking, we're sitting there in our therapist's office or on the table, you know, in my case, and like, is this really working?
Yeah.
And it does. It works. Yeah. It just may not show up the way you think it's going to show up, but it does work.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it's powerful. Sometimes it's subtle.
Yes.
It can be subtle, but it's still powerful.
And you may be having a conversation with your spouse, for example, and maybe that person would tick you off with the way they're approaching you, and you're just calm and cool as a cucumber, and they're looking at you like, what are you drinking, honey? What are you doing? What are you doing? A little puff there, you know, at the marijuana. Are you doing something? You're too calm. I did that with my ex-husband once. Yeah, it happened with my ex-husband. He would just give you like, okay, you're not yelling at me. Something's wrong here. She's contemplating divorce. And I was.
You changed the dynamics here. What the heck?
Yes. And I was thinking divorce, and he was right. Happiest day of my life. And he's a buffalo, too.
Some people are in our lives for a short period of time, and some people are for a longer period of time, and some people are there for life.
Well, with him was a life sentence, and I had to get out of prison. So anyway, otherwise I would have been in a real prison. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think divorce was a better decision.
So, Karen, where can people find you? And where you're on BBS Radio. Like I said, I heard it. You're on Voice America. Where else can they find you if they want to learn about you and your techniques and how they can maybe you can help them on their path?
Yeah, so I have a website. My practice is called Insights Counseling Center, and with the plural insights, you get more than one insight when you come see me. So my website is www.insightscounselingcenter.com, and we are also on Facebook. I have my Insights Counseling Center Facebook page and Shift Happens Facebook page, where you can, if you want to, see us. We stream live our shows on there when we are doing this show. And then we're also on YouTube. I've started loading up our videos on YouTube, Shift Happens YouTube. And so that's where you can find me. And my phone number is 386-848-5170.
Awesome. Well, Karen, this was in a delightful interview. Yes, we have we're on the same wavelength, and keep us posted on anything new that you're going to do. Maybe you could write a book or something.
I am actually in the process of writing a 365-day journal and also another one on ditch that diet. So, but I've gotten a third one, so, but I got to finish up these first two.
You sound like me. I start books and it's like, I'm just doing it by subject matter on my life in a cult. So I'll write about that. Then my journey about recovery. I'll write about that.
There you go. There you go. Do you have any books, Amy?
Not that they're published, but I am writing them. So, yes.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we must finish our birthing of the books. So,
Yes, we will, definitely. Well, it was a pleasure to have you on today, Karen, and I look forward to maybe having you on again. Just keep us posted on your book so we can have you on and you can promote your books. You always have an open invitation on the show.
beautiful. Thank you, and vice versa. I'd love to have you back, and thank you for having me.
And this is Amy Toy with Angel Answers with Amy Toy. May the angels carry you through to next week. Take care, everybody.
Look up high.